Hello and welcome to the Biz News Briefing. Tonight, we're going to have another look at Nedbank's 600 million rand settlement to Transnet through a deal that relates to the state capture era. And we'll find out whether the platinum price, which is up 60% since May, is able to stay there. It's quite important for you and I, given that platinum is the biggest foreign exchange earner for South Africa. But before we get into those big stories, let's start off with the headlines today. And Exxaro, the coal producer, or best known as a coal producer, is moving really aggressively now into renewables. Its subsidiary, Cenergy, has bought the portfolio owned by the Spanish multinational Acciona. It's paying 1.7 billion rand, and the portfolio will take the Exxaro subsidiary's renewables operations up to more than 300 megawatts. That's plenty of electricity into the grid, into the future. The idea here is that they will take over the Gouda wind farm in the Western Cape and the Cision solar plant in the Northern Cape, both of which have got long-term contracts with Eskom to supply. So it's cash benefit for Exxaro, as well as making sure that it's got plenty of electricity for its own operations. Renet Investments, named after Graaf Renet, where the Rupert family originally hails from, is a Luxembourg and Johannesburg Stock Exchange listed investment trust, which is very popular amongst value investors. Well, they're not going to be that happy with the results that came out for the 6 months to end September. The net asset value of the company dipped by 4%, and they showed a loss, a net loss of 190 million euros. But investors are really looking for the longer term here. Renet is busy selling off the UK's Pension Insurance Corporation. It's a mega deal. And to give you an idea of the size of this, the company, the UK company, generated 300 million euros in dividends for Renet in the 6 months to the end of September. So essentially, investors are playing the long game here, and the share price is up by 9% this year. And finally, in our headlines for tonight, Tsogo Sun has been pivoting online as it's been feeling the pinch in the traditional casino operations. It's the owner of icons like Monte Casino and the Gold Reef City. But on the casinos themselves, well, gamblers are staying away, it seems. Group income at Tsogo Sun dipped slightly to 5.5 billion rand. The interim dividend, though, has been slashed by half, just 15 cents a share. Management, though, is playing a long game here, a little bit like those investors in Renet. And the dividend cut is being used to aggressively pay down debt and to buy back shares, because the shares are trading at a deep discount to the net asset value of the company. There are also bright spots in it. The online betting division has finally broken into profit, and the company is busy selling off non-core assets, its stake in City Lodge being the most notable of these, to fund a newly approved casino in Somerset West. They've been allowed to move the one that hasn't been performing too well in Goodwood, and it's in a bigger area. Management are no doubt excited about that. It's taken them many years of work to get to this point. Well, onto that Nedbank matter now. It's the bank has agreed to pay 600 million rand to Transnet to settle what was likely to be a very long-term legal battle. It avoided 3 billion rand that Transnet wanted from Nedbank due to activities that occurred during the state capture era. I spoke to Corky Koyman of Denker Capital. He's our, well, go-to guy on anything to do with financial services, the veteran of that market and a real guru. I had to track him down to Amsterdam to have this conversation. And I asked him just to tell us a little more about what gives here.
The regional financing was, I think, 3 or 4 billion, and that kept growing and that kept growing. And it wasn't only Nedbank. There were a lot, it was a consortium of banks doing the financing. Nedbank, well, providing the finance. Nedbank looks like they were the main arranger. And then where it gets murky is that the Guptas, or one of the Gupta companies, got involved. And that one can't ascertain what really happened, but the fixed low, or the variable rate contract was swapped into a fixed rate contract at a higher rate. Nedbank wouldn't have been that stupid to go and, you know, for a government company of that size to go and charge specifically a higher rate so they can pay someone a commission when they had the contract. But that is what the allegation was about. So the court case was about mainly that Transnet have paid now about roughly 3 to 4 billion rand of interest above what they would have paid on the original contract. And Nedbank say, look, we were just a banker facilitating the transaction. We were just reacting to your clients and your advisor and regiments. I think it was regiments in the Gupta stable who were actually arranging the transaction. So, and they said, this is what we want. And this is, so Nedbank didn't, they said they didn't propose this. It was Regiments Capital who proposed it, and they went along with that. And the Zondo Commission rightly pointed out maybe that Nedbank and banks generally should have been more, is inquisitive the right word? I don't think he used inquisitive, but they should have done more homework on the size and the legitimacy, potential corruption in a transaction.
I'm just wondering, from Nedbank's perspective, is the fact that there is a new CEO also playing a big part here, that he wants to get on with his life and he wants to get on with a new world? It just feels in corporate sometimes that happens. I don't want to deal with somebody else's mess. Really, I've got much more exciting things to do.
And I think that's right. You normally get that. And that's why in turnarounds are normally successful when you get someone new coming in. Because there's no allegiances, there's no favoritism. He just looks at the cold and says, why are we doing this? Let us cut that in the same. Why are we dragging this case out? Let's go and try and get a settlement.
Robertson, a small town in the middle of nowhere where a wine farmer claims to have sold a Volkswagen up to e-buy cars.
A farmer.
What car did you really sell them?
A VW.
Right here in Robertson.
Small town, but we know about e-buy cars.
Yeah, but what's a farmer doing with a VW up?
It was just a runaround.
Cool cover story. And I see you traded it in for this, like a double cab Renault. Well, were they all out of Rangers?
We buy cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Platinum is South Africa's biggest export earner. In the 12 months to the end of May, the country earned 170 billion rand from platinum sales to other parts of the world. Remember, we are the biggest platinum reserves producer. Any way you want to look at it, this is platinum country. But the price of platinum has been under pressure for a while now. Certainly hasn't been keeping pace with gold until the last few months. Since May, the platinum price has jumped by 60%. So it means a lot to us, given that this is our biggest export earner. I asked Peter Major, the mining guru, to tell us whether this elevated price is for real.
I think it is, Alec, because other than Ivan Platts, we're not building platinum mines like we used to. We're not building platinum mines to keep up with world growth, actually. But with this big advent of electric cars a few years ago, it put the fear of God in producers that, wow, maybe the demand is going to change. And I think with Trump coming into America, and he's got a lot of following outside of America now, a lot of other countries are saying, we rush too hard into alternative energy. It's not economically possible and not economically feasible. That means PGMs in automobiles are going to be around longer. And they might even grow a little bit from current levels, because electric cars are taking 10, 15, 20% of some of the new car sales in these countries. So I won't say that's the only reason, but that's, in my mind, that's the biggest reason. But these are good prices, all of them across the board. These are good prices for platinum. great prices for rhodium. You know, that's double the long-term rhodium price. 8,000 is double 4,000. Long-term platinum price isn't even 1,000. What is it? 1550. And they're as solid as that gold price. They come off a little bit, maybe 3, 4, 5%. They push right back up. So this has been going on for five months now. 5 months means there's a lot of real buying behind it. So it's really good for our platinum producers. Great.
And I guess we've got to look for the messages on the wind, and the COP30 conference in Brazil wasn't exactly a overwhelming vote of confidence for those who are driving the renewables agenda.
No, you're right. Whether Mr. Trump is right or wrong, he's at least caused people to reanalyze these headlong rushes into new energy, getting rid of the internal combustion engine, getting rid of coal. And I'm an environmentalist as much as I'm a mining veteran. But we made a lot of progress. The world's made progress on cleaning up coal-fired power plants. And to just say we're going to abandon coal overnight, just like Germany, they just abandoned nuclear overnight decades ago. And they paid the price of it. You know, Germany's costs are 2 to 3 times their electricity costs what the rest of the world is, right at the top. And it was from abandoning things on ideology rather than on any kind of socioeconomic calculations.
Finally, with the G20 now over, despite those memes and some friction with the incoming Trump administration, well, we don't know if we're going to be there or represented next year after all, the verdict looks good for South Africa. We end today with perspective in our tailpiece from Barclays country CEO, Amol Prabhu.
I've covered the continent personally for over 10 years, and I haven't seen a better time for South Africa. I mean, as you know, in addition to the G20, we're off the grey list, inflation's coming down, S&P have upgraded us recently, the GNU is holding together, so there's a lot of positive data points that are coming through the economy. I think also, specifically on the G20, there's a lot of focus around last week in terms of the crescendo that happened, the meetings that happened, etc. But I would remind viewers that these discussions have been going on all year across the G20, the B20 and other initiatives. And we have seen, certainly within Barclays, a real increase in investor sentiment in putting South Africa on the map, in increased interest in looking at opportunities, investing in the country, etc. So I think it has been a real win for South Africa across 2025. The real question, Jumana, is can that momentum, can that leverage continue throughout 2026?
Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again on Monday. Until then, cheerio.